Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of men, for they will hand you over to courts and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be led before governors and kings for my sake as a witness before them and the pagans. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say. You will be given at that moment what you are to say. For it will not be you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will hand over brother to death, and the father his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But whoever endures to the end will be saved." The Gospel of the Lord. In the church's liturgical mindset, certain seasons of the year take precedence over saints' feast days. For example, obligatory memorials of saints, those whose feast every priest has to celebrate, they're made optional in the seasons of Lent and Easter and Advent and Christmas. When a saint's feast day happens to fall on a really important feast, a Sunday, a holy day of obligation, Holy Week, Easter, the Easter octave, it's utterly suppressed. This week, for example, the feast of St. Thomas Becket on December 29th is optional. The feast of St. Roger on December 30th is optional. Feast of St. Sylvester on the 31st of December, optional. Which is what makes the feast of St. Stephen all the more significant. Prior to the establishment of December 25th is the feast day of the birth of the Lord, which came 9 months after the church was celebrating the incarnation of the Word on the Annunciation. St. Stephen's feast day was present before we started to celebrate Christmas, as was St. John, which takes place December 27th. And it was thought so significant to keep St. Stephen that not only did they give the priest the option, no, they made it necessary for him to celebrate this feast. And this teaches us something really important about our faith. Yesterday, in the prayer for Mass during the day, we prayed those words that a priest says in every Mass when he puts a little drop of water into the chalice of wine. Deus qui humani substantiae, Lord, who willed to form your creature so wondrously according to his humanity, and even more wondrously restored him through the mystery of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of him who humbled himself to share our humanity. That Christ came to earth for a purpose. The reason for the season is precisely not just Jesus, but what Jesus wants to do in us. And he wants to change us to be like him. At the very beginning of this Mass, we prayed to God the Father that we might imitate what we worship, just like St. Stephen, in imitating, in adoring the Lord Jesus, came to imitate the Lord Jesus. Jesus wants to work that same transformation in us. Today we can ponder three ways that St. Stephen was changed by the Lord Jesus, changed by his worship and his following the Lord, to imitate him in action. First is in his love for knowing and passing on the truth. Remember what Jesus said before Pontius Pilate, "For this reason I was born, For this I came into the world, to give witness to the truth. When they wanted to keep Jesus in one town and not go to the other, he said, to the other towns I must also go to proclaim the good news, because it was for this purpose I came. When he inaugurated his public ministry in the Nazarene synagogue, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to go and proclaim God's good news to the poor. Jesus came to give witness to the truth. And St. Stephen likewise was going to give witness to this truth. That's what we see in today's first reading. He was dragged before the very people who had crucified the Lord Jesus. He knew they meant business. And they had trumped up charges against him the same way that they had trumped up charges against Jesus, taking out of context what Jesus, for example, had said, that he would destroy the temple in 3 days, rebuild it. He wasn't talking about the temple built by Solomon and rebuilt by Herod. He's talking about the temple of his body. But they were just going to ramrod his death sentence no matter what. And before them, St. Stephen, with a face looking like an angel, with a heart that was pure, gave witness to the truth. And his example beckons us to do the same. We might not have to suffer literally the way he did, being stoned to death. But we might be stoned by insults of others, or by mocking, or the rest. If we're going to allow Jesus, and assuming our humanity, to transform us to become divine like him, the first way is by our love of the truth, and our recognizing that this is a medicine for others, that we're courageously going to pass it on. Second way, we can learn from St. Stephen how to emulate the one we adore is through our Christian service. We first hear about St. Stephen in the 6th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. The apostles themselves were overwhelmed by the ministry of the word, passing on the truth, as well as by prayer. They didn't have time to settle every dispute. They didn't have time to do the charity. It wasn't that charity was less important than these other things. Because it was so important, they wanted to make sure that it got done. So they looked for 7 men, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom they were able to lay hands upon and send out as the first deacons, precisely to carry out this service. And the first of those 7 was a man named Stephen, whom St. Luke tells us was full of the Holy Spirit and power. And he carried out that work of the first deacons, which was to serve, especially the widows whom nobody else were caring for in the culture of the time. It wasn't merely that we were just looking for administrators or distributors. People who were able to just say, okay, you're hungry, I'm going to give you food. The first criterion was men full of the Holy Spirit, because that type of Christian service is supposed to be done by the power of the Lord, who helps us to love those whom we're serving with the love of the heart of the Lord. That's what characterized St. Stephen in that service. Likewise, if we're going to allow our humanity to be pervaded by the light of Christ's divinity, it's going to change the way we relate to others. We're not just going to do good deeds, but those fruit of charity are going to come from a tree, from a heart that really loves and is willing to die for others. And if we're willing to die for others, then giving them 50 or 100 bucks instead of 1 or 5, or spending all day with them in a sick bed, or other types of sacrifices, just become part of our new nature, the new nature that Christ has helped us to acquire. St. Stephen shows us this path, and the more we adore the Lord, who came not to be served, but to serve and to lay down his life as a ransom for others, who came as a savior of sin and selfishness, the more we adore him, the more we, filled with the Holy Spirit and with wisdom, will seek to serve. And the third way St. Stephen shows us to imitate the one we worship is by his death. The very end of his life, after having given this powerful testimony, the stones started coming as a downpour. And while many of us in a similar circumstance, if our bones were being broken by these heavy stones, if we were starting to get black eyes and lumps on our head as these are hitting us, we probably would have been thinking about protecting ourselves. St. Stephen was going to use his last seconds here on earth to do something totally different. We see that in the gospel. He was imitating Christ to the end. Rather than saying, "Damn you, you losers, don't you realize what you're doing?" He said, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Just like Jesus on the cross was interceding for us when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then he entrusted himself totally to the Lord in an exclamation point for a whole lifetime of a similar consecration. "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Echoing again Jesus' last words from the cross, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." St. Stephen wanted to emulate the Lord Jesus to such a degree that even at the toughest time of his life, Christ's own words, Christ's own thoughts, Christ's own heart pervaded him. That's what true worship leads us to do as well. The more we worship the Lord in spirit and truth, the more we truly become like him, so that our last moments here on earth, whether we're dying in a martyrdom, whether we're dying in a hospital or a nursing home, whether we're dying in any other way that human beings die, we will be saying two things: "Lord, I totally entrust myself to you," and "Lord, please help the others. Please help them, forgive them, have mercy on them, bring them to be one with you." We learn all these things today from St. Stephen, which is the reason why the Church has us ponder his example the day after Christmas. Christ came and we sing all these beautiful hymns, but we've got to remember that the one who was adored by the shepherds would grow up to become the good shepherd and give his life in order to protect us, his beloved sheep, from the wolves. And in the same way, St. Stephen helps us to mature in our own Christian commitment, that to truly follow the Lord Jesus, whom we adore in the Presepio, means to follow him down this path of giving witness to the truth, this path of self-giving love, and this path of dying for him who took on our nature to die for us, so that together with him we might live forever. Today, as we come forward to receive at this altar the same Eucharist whom St. Stephen had the joy to be able to bring to others, we ask his prayers so that we might emulate him in his imitation of Jesus and follow Jesus, the truth, the way, and the life, not to Bethlehem, but all the way to the eternal Jerusalem. Praise be Jesus Christ.